From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2011. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francicchi in the heart of Dixie in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this week we tackle the challenge of mapping the news. It's been tried over and over again for the past 10 or so years. Why hasn't it broken through? And will a new offering, Tackable, make a difference? We'll ask that question after a word from our sponsor.
MapInfo Professional version 11.0 is now available. Visit www.pbinsight.com to download the 30-day trial, which includes enhancements such as a redesigned browser window for better data analysis, the ability to perform memory-intensive operations through enhanced support of 64-bit operating environments, as well as premium services for instant access to worldwide road-level tile data.
Now, Alexis Madrigal, writing at The Atlantic, makes the argument that organizing news by time, which is how it's been done in printed newspapers since the dawn of printed newspapers, isn't the only way that we can organize news. And he argues that a new offering, Tackable, which offers a product implementation called Tap-In right now, may be able to change that. And he describes the offering as something which displays local news on a map along with context from social media. Now, I read that and I said, wow, people have been trying to put news on a map and have that map be the interface to the news for 10 years, maybe more. And despite some real elegant implementations and the fact that the technology to do the natural language search of the locations mentioned in the articles has gotten so much better, it never has made it. It is not something that people use. So let's start out with the question, why?
I think there's a couple reasons why it hasn't worked out. To me, it has to do with a form factor issue. And I've brought this up to at different times about how we read things, how we look at information, how we digest information. And to me, it has to be in something that I'm willing to pick up. You know, we're still physical people. We have to pick up and we have to read. We're familiar with reading paper newspapers, and that's presented to us in textual form. To pick up a map and expect that type of visual indexing is not as familiar. And whether you're reading online or on a mobile device, I don't think that that has engaged people enough to make them comfortable.
I do understand where you're coming from. So is some of this just that, in a sense, we've been trained by the paper newspaper and by the new web implementations of the paper newspaper to expect news to be delivered in a certain way, and maybe we just don't have the experience or the training to even imagine that the map could be a valuable interface?
If you look at how the news is presented on some of these news map features, they're presented as dots on a map. Some of them allow you pop-ups to see snippets, but it doesn't. I'm not sure it gives me what I want. I'm not sure that the search part of it is getting me to the information at the right time and delivering me the information I need.
So, what is it that you want? Can you articulate that?
The only thing I can go back to in terms of what helps me with news on a map is what was done during the elections. And this is not exactly, I don't think, what we want to talk about, but the example serves to some degree. When we were doing the elections in 2008, everybody had their certain amounts of information, election news on a map. The implementations by the New York Times and the USA Today's, I thought, were stunning. They were wonderful things because it had a much richer experience with an interactive experience. And maybe that's what I'm lacking, is this interactivity.
Now, those news maps that you were just talking about in the election, were those news on a map or mapping data about elections?
Well, that was mapping data. That wasn't truly news on a map. But it is a form of news delivery.
But that is a very different use of maps in the media,
Sure. It is true. Which is why I go back to the thing of dots on a map, just to show me the index of where news is coming from. I'm not sure still gives me the interactivity I'm looking for.
And that's exactly the right word. What that map is with the dots on it is an index of the news.
Right.
And does it help you to figure out what you're going to pass your mouse over or what you're going to click on that is read first?
That's true. That's exactly right. There's no... Your eye isn't necessarily drawn towards one thing or another because there's no relevance to that dot.
Right. And I would argue there may be some curation, but you haven't seen it. Who did it and how they did it?
One of the things that I think we wanted to look at was other examples of sites that may have worked. And so I went back to Topics and saw, and just to try to get an update, because I hadn't visited that in a while. Maybe that in itself is an indication of these things not working. You would think that if I thought something was useful, I'd go back to it. Well, I hadn't been there in a while. What I liked about Topics was, again, there was this index of news, and there was some level of thematic reference to the news, whether there was a news item, whether there was a deal, a coupon, some sort of information that was relevant in a thematicized way. Yes, it was categorized.
Was the news categorized? So, for example, lifestyle, sports, business?
No, nor was there any symbology, you know, in other words, graduated symbol to say that this was a hot topic. So my eye would be drawn because the symbol was any larger or was flashing at me or something like that, so that it would have drawn my attention that this was something that of a major engagement in town. There was a fire. It was going on now. So there was some chronology that was not referenced. Now that would help me too, right? If there was importance, timeliness, currency, that all of those issues.
Right, and maybe some kind of measure of importance either from the curation or via social media or something like that, right?
That's a good point, because there was no curation here, right? There was nothing to tell me that this was important. You should have your mouse, you know, run over it to find more information.
Right, so, and I think that Topics was, I know, one that I looked at years ago and pretty much never went back to. And what you really get is this flat index. And compare that to, and maybe this is actually quite comparable, you open that page in USA Today, news from every state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which state do you read first?
Yeah, my own.
Yep. And I do, every time I read USA Today, I so enjoy, what piece of news from my state of Massachusetts is in there? And then sometimes I check on Pennsylvania since I have a connection with that state. But
did they implement that online? I haven't looked, but that isn't an implementation online for that section of the newspaper, is it?
I actually can't say, because I would never think to go to USA Today online to read that feature online.
Yeah, you see, I was searching in preparation for our podcast. I was searching on USA Today, and there's nothing on the homepage about any mapping implementation. So I was a little disappointed at that.
Right. So it sounds like both of us sort of haven't been compelled to, and apparently many others have not been compelled to, take advantage of the variety of offerings that do, in fact, map the news.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, we're just not there. So when I ran into Tappan and this description of it as displaying local news on a map with context from social media, my first thought was, oh, that again.
Yeah, that's right.
And the good news is that description really does not do justice to the vision for Tappan. And what I want to do is try to highlight what it is that makes this offering of dots on a map, if you want, different. And there's about five or six different points, so let's walk down each one of them. First of all, Tappan is not connected to a newspaper. It's connected to a newspaper group, the Bay Area News Group, which in fact has 60 daily newspapers in 13 states. Okay, so this is a big bunch of content. And in the particular implementation of Tappan, there's only 34 papers of the 60, but that's still a whole bunch. So just the amount of content is a huge starting point, because if you're only going to do this for your own content from your one paper, even if you're the New York Times, that's kind of limiting.
One of the best things I think that they're trying to do is curation. And because there is so much news from that area, and because they're trying to work in some aspect of social media with it, they're making an attempt to get to the point where I want to see more interactivity, more timeliness, more currency, the things I mentioned before. But it's still not connected to, I think, the ultimate goal that I always look to is, what is it going to give me in terms of location-based advertising? Where are you making the link towards a better business model for delivering me not only information, but something that's going to get me jazzed to react, to interact? I still see that there's a gap there with this application.
But you're looking at it now from the business standpoint of this implementation, not the end user implementation.
Well, but I think you have to look at it from a business aspect, or it's not going to work. It's going to flail as others have flailed, because there is no business model.
But you certainly agree that having more content from more papers is going to put you in a better position to deliver that kind of advertising.
Only, yes, that's true. But only if they can deliver that much news in a way that's relevant to me.
Okay, but first you got to start off with a lot of local news.
True.
Okay, so that's one aspect that I think differentiates this from some of the other implementations. The second thing I want to bring up is the fact that the initial rollout of the application is for the iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, is that significant?
I think it is significant, because it got me thinking that, are we all going to be walking around with tablets in our hands in the near future? Because it is location relevant, because you're going to be delivered the news in a form that they assume you're going to be mobile, that it just got me thinking about the whole tablet issue and the form factor of the tablet, which is, I think, much more elegant a delivery mechanism than your mobile phone.
Right, and it's sort of more, I don't know if it's exactly newspapery, but it's certainly more magazine-y.
Yeah, and it also got me thinking of other things kind of off topic, which is so many other things that we put into our hand to get information, like restaurant menus. Well, do we need to have restaurant menus anymore? Is everything going to be on a tablet? I just think that it was leading my mind in another direction, that tablets could very well be more game-changing than I thought previously. Delivering the news on a tablet for an iPad, yeah, it's going in that direction.
Right, that it could be this sort of universal window to the news, yeah, and to any other kind of information you might need as you go through your day.
Your day, correct.
Right. Yes. So that, I think, is also really significant, that they're starting out on that tablet form factor. The third thing that piqued my interest was this idea of, do you have to start with a map? Because, as we've just discussed, probably not. That would not be our go-to indexing or organizing principle for the news. And if you dig down a little bit, what you find is that that's only one of several ways that you can access the content, with or without maps, including an offering called OnTap, which is a mix of the top six things that Tappan thinks you're going to like. So this idea of sort of customizing the news based on who you are and what you're interested in, and using some of that kind of thinking.
I thought that was a great hedge against what we're talking about, right? Not everybody wants to use a map, so let's hedge our bets and put in a couple of different things that would be of interest to people.
Absolutely, and maybe even describing this as news on a map, or indexing the news with a map, isn't the best way to introduce the idea.
Yeah, it could turn a bunch of people off right away. You don't
absolutely
want to do. Yeah.
Now, the fourth thing that's really interesting is this concept of a gig. Unlike many other sort of social implementations, the definition of a gig is pretty broad. And it can either be an informal question or query from a reader, like, hey, I missed my son's ball game that was over at this field this afternoon. Anybody get any pictures from it?
I struggle. I would struggle with that one, as to whether that's going to fly, whether it's actually going to be picked up. That this the concept of hyperlocal information assumes that you're going to be connected to lots of people that you hope are going to be there.
Well, again, we've got a dense part of the country. We've got lots of news. If we reach that critical mass, that could in fact happen.
Well, isn't that what we're talking about in terms of the success of hyperlocal news, is a critical mass? Not everybody is tuned in to hyperlocal news yet. Not everybody has anything that can deliver hyperlocal news to them. We're making lots of assumptions about mobile technology and whether people are tuned in all the time. And
right. And again, this sort of takes it beyond the news to, this is a way to communicate with my local community of fellow readers.
Yep, that is a big assumption.
This could go as something as simple as, and this happened over the last couple of winters in various cities, folks, you know, sort of put dots on a map on the web saying, hey, I need somebody to help shovel out my driveway. Why not make those kinds of queries? Again, creating this kind of community that can use this news application, which is more than just a news application, to create those connections and participate in each other's lives.
Well, I'll go back to an example that I've used in a couple different instances about the tornadoes that hit us here. It would have been nice to have something like this if somebody could tell me where the gas lines were short or where you could get ice, you know, when the power was out and things were all very hectic, and, you know, which grocery stores were open. That kind of social activity, that kind of hyperlocal news that would help me as a citizen would be extremely useful in times of crisis. Even in normal day-to-day activities, which grocery store had the cheapest milk, had the best deal on grapefruit that week, you know what I mean? That kind of thing would be useful on a hyper scale.
Right, so that hyperlocal version of the cheapest gas.
Yeah.
Kind of map.
And I guess, you know, we could be just asking too much. We're in so early days of the link between hyperlocal news, couponing, best deals,
social
buy location.
Media.
Oh, yeah. It, 5 years from now, we'll look back at this and go, wow, great starts by one of the, you know, by everybody, but it took a while. Just as we had reviewed in the past, every block in topics. That was, what, 3-4 years ago that we had been discussing that?
Every block, yeah.
Yeah, so now we're coming, you know, here we are 3 or 4 years later. We realize that those guys were early adopters.
And as much as I respect what the Every Block folks have done, I certainly haven't visited that site in years.
And I did it in preparation for this podcast, and it looked a little dead to me.
Now, the real issue, I think, with these gigs is that, again, it's this separate social network that isn't the social networks that you're already on, right? It's yet another social network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have to believe that in the back of their heads, the folks behind this are, how do we connect with Facebook and Twitter and use their location kinds of tools and maybe Gowalla and Foursquare. Maybe that's coming. Now, the other way you can use this idea of a gig is to actually assign folks out and about to collect data for you. And one description of the Tap-In platform, which is called Tackable, is as a mobile photojournalism platform. And the idea being that folks who work for these different papers can actually create photo assignments, which readers would then complete by taking photographs of news stories or other things, that then would feed back into the content.
I like that idea. I hope it works. I don't know if it'll work, but I like it. And I think people would participate in something like that. If you go back to your example of the kids' ball game, if you knew that there was a collection mechanism for things like that, I think that's a great idea.
I think so too. And again, it builds community and it sort of removes some of the concerns about citizen journalism, where at least right now the idea is, let's just have them go out and take pictures. You can certainly fake that you took a picture at this ball field versus some other ball field, but ideally it's stamped with a location and a time and so forth. So I think that's a really interesting way to create that engagement that you were talking about.
Well, and so often, and again, we're in a different era, but so often we miss things that we wish we had an opportunity to go back to and revisit. An old ball game from one of your kids' activities. Oh, I wonder what happened that day. Wouldn't it be nice to have a picture from that? And if this is a way to curate that and store it historically, great. I like it.
Well, and that this is going to be creating potentially a lot of content that's going to have to be archived if that's the way things go. Now, the flip side of these gigs and photo assignments ties into part of the business model. Now, Tappan is free through the summer, but at the end of the summer, it's going to be a four-fee service at $4.99 a month. But you can whittle down that cost by doing what? Participating in these photo assignments and participating, responding to gigs and such. So if you play, if you participate, the cost could in fact be zero.
I'm going to have a hard time with that one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. Again, it's assuming some critical mass of users that, boy, would have to get over the hurdle of paying and then reducing your fee. I think that's going to be a bit of a stretch.
I don't think so, because I think there are already things in one's life that work this way. I know my business bank account, there are fees, but depending on interest rates and how I use the account and a few other things I don't honestly understand, that fee can be anywhere from $10 or $15 down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I really paid attention and participated in the way they're trying to get me to participate, I could have no fees. And again, if they take care of all of this stuff and you understand that basically if you play, you're going to reduce your fees, I think, you know, this has a little bit of a gaming
aspect
mentality.
Too.
Yeah, and I think people don't want to pay for news or for much of the software that they run on their various devices, and this is a way to sort of get there.
Well, I think you have to go back to the question of where do you get your news? If it's from your local newspaper and they offered something like this, would you participate? We all have developed a certain comfort level with our local newspaper, and maybe that's where it starts. If you like your local newspaper, you want to participate in something like this, okay, I may be willing to do that. There may be a critical mass to make that business model work. I'm going to take it into my own context. Since it's not here where I live, I have a little bit of skepticism about it.
I guess I'm a little bit more optimistic about that particular game mechanic. But I guess it really does come down to how are we getting our news these days? And I guess the other wrench in the system, if you like, is that the curation that we're looking for, or that we already accept, so for example, I get almost all my news from the radio, and I just trust the folks at NPR to do the curation, tell me what's important in Afghanistan, around the world, and then down to my local city, and I'm good. But the rest of the news that I get that is curated comes to me how? Via social media.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of news sort of relevant to my life comes to me via Twitter, via Facebook, and it has been curated by the people that I pay attention to.
Right.
And guess what? Save exactly one person, their location is really irrelevant.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why I don't think the news on a map has made it at this point, is maybe we just haven't found out the right kind of news to put there that makes people want to reference information by the map.
Well, and I hate to suggest this, but I think in many ways, the definition of news, geography doesn't matter as much as we like to think it does.
And that could very well be. I mean,
except for the hyperlocal, you know, there was a fire down the street. Yes, you want to know about the war in Afghanistan and what's going on in the Middle East and everything else. But sort of, in a sense, where that's happening, I think for most people, and certainly for I can speak for myself, just not that important. unless it's down the street. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Before we go, our sponsor, Pitney Bowes Business Insights, would like to remind you that MapInfo Professional version 11 is now available. The product includes a redesigned browser window for better data analysis and the ability to perform memory-intensive operations. Visit www.pbiinsight.com to download the 30-day trial version.
We'd like to remind everybody that our Rocket City Geospatial Conference has a call for presentations. It's now open until September 30th. You can find more information about the conference and submitting a presentation for review at www.rocketcitygeospatial.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is posted. You can also send us a tweet to Directions Mag. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.